Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
As a new Western Union customer, you can enjoy a $0 transfer fee on your first international online money transfer. Send money to your loved ones back home the fast, easy, and reliable way. Visit WesternUnion.com or download their app today to get started. And your first transfer fee is free. Services offered by Western Union Financial Services, Inc., NMLS 906983, or Western Union International Services, LLC, NMLS 906985. FX Gains Apply.
She just walked out? Were you wearing enough cologne? This week on the Story Song Podcast. Now hear the tale and all its glory. Three friends who took it victorious. All the songs that tell a story. It's the Story Song Podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Story Song Podcast. I'm Dan McInerney.
I'm Rachel Oakes.
And I'm Michael Gazelle.
Every episode, we walk you through the world of a story song. And this episode, we're talking about What's My Age Again by Blink-182.
Oh, Dan, you don't know your age? How sad.
This is that song that goes, what do you get when you fall in love?
Close. Yeah? It's close.
Let's just say yes, Michael. It doesn't matter. All right. Well, I want to say two things before we get started here, which is that the reason why I picked this song was this was a song that at the time I, hated.
Okay.
And I think for a couple of reasons, but I think the main one is that, so at the time I was like a kid who was super into like punk rock and alternative rock and whatever else you want to call it. And this song was a song that, unlike something like, I don't, whatever, like some pop thing or like Backstreet Boys or whatever else was going on at the time, this song fell into what Freud would call, or did call, the narcissism of tiny differences. Mm-hmm. But what I would call, like a cultural uncanny valley.
Okay.
Which is okay. The uncanny valley, if you don't know, is that thing where, like, if you ever see something that seems like it looks like it's human, but it's not exactly right and it, like, creeps you out. When I say uncultural canny valley, what I'm talking about is a song that sounds a lot like something I like, but it's not quite right, and therefore
right.
I hate it.
Like, right,
it
right,
was
right.
It was close, but it wasn't quite right. And so then I was like, ugh, I hate this thing. So, but then the other day I was listening to my local alternative rock station and they were like, hey, it's Flashback Friday or whatever. And they played this song and that's the way they talk. It's a terrible radio station. It's
they have the
song.
Goofiest DJs on that station.
But I heard this song and I listened to it with fresh ears. And I was like, you know what? The song's pretty good, man. It's pretty good. And we'll talk about all this, but like the music's good. And I was like, you know what? Also, I have to admit, it's actually funny. And what I mean by that is that like most songs that try to be funny are not funny. They're dumb. And I was like, this one's actually funny. They actually pull it off. So that got me thinking more and more about this song. And then I decided that I wanted to talk about it. The other thing I wanted to say before we get started is that, you know, we try to keep it clean here. you know, if you're at home listening with kids or whatever. And we're going to do that as much as we can this episode. But this song is what a lot of things were in the late 90s and early 2000s. And do you guys want to guess what word I'm thinking of from the from that time period of what this song is?
What?
Y2K.
Rachel, you want to guess?
No, I don't have a guess.
This song is raunchy. You
oh,
guys.
Okay.
Remember in the late 90s, early 2000s when everything was raunchy?
Yeah. Teen movie. You got all those like teen movies and stuff. Yeah.
But that was just a thing. Like things were too hot for TV. Remember that?
Yeah.
Like so.
Yeah.
So the song, you guys, it's just a little raunchy. It's just a little out there. So be ready for that. I just wanted to give you guys a heads up for that. That was a word that we could not get enough of at the time. We loved things. We just loved things that were raunchy. It was just a time for that, you know?
It's about freedom and rebelling from our parents.
I guess so.
I don't know. I have no idea.
I took her out. It was a Friday night. I walk alone to get the feeling right. We started making out and she took off my pants. But then I turned on the TV. And that's about the time she walked away from me. Nobody likes you when you're 23. And I saw more of my TV shows. What the hell is ADD? My friends say I should act my age. What's my age again? What's my age again?
I am very confident that he used a totally reasonable amount of cologne.
Oh, sure.
just a little dab will do ya. On the side.
A little Dracar Noir.
Sure.
He did the spray delay and walk away thing.
What's the other one? It wasn't Dracar Noir. What was the other one? It was, something water.
Oh, Chanel.
Very pot. Yep. Chanel yep. number 5. He put a lot of Chanel number 5
sure.
on.
Sure.
But yeah, no, I'm sure it's just, he just used a touch.
Just a little bit.
Just a touch.
Just just to give it, you know, a little bit of a highlight. Of his natural musk,
right.
Which is also, I'm sure, delightful.
Oh, without a doubt.
Couldn't smell that aftershave from miles away.
No.
Definitely didn't bathe in it.
Now, when he says to get the feeling right, is that that sting of the alcohol after?
Yeah.
Oh, is that
he's
the feeling
feel
he's talking
it.
About?
Yeah.
He's got to get that stingy feel.
Yeah.
Feel the pain. I mean, what was it? Because I'm... I'll be honest with you. After I shave, I have a soothing lotion that
Ooh.
I like to put on afterwards. But why before that were people just like, you know what I need to do is just slap alcohol
right.
directly
yeah.
onto my face and just let it burn.
Yeah. What faces need
just
are to
burn
be
so
shocked
hard.
Into
right.
yeah.
being what I want
yeah.
them to be.
yeah. They just need to be like super dried
it
out.
It doesn't
you
seem
know?
Right. Yeah, it does not seem right.
No.
No, what you're supposed to do is scrub. Take a big bowl of ice cubes, pour pure rubbing alcohol into it, and then mm-hmm. stick your face in
That's
it.
That's right. That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
That's the Joan Crawford special. We do not have to get into this, but I don't even understand how beards and shaving your face would work. And I'm part Italian, so I assume at some point I'm going to have to do it myself, even as a woman. But no. but I don't understand. The whole thing about shaving and slapping, like, aftershave and stuff on your face, I don't understand. We don't have aftershave for our legs, women. We have lotion.
Right. Yeah. Well, I think that's the thing. I mean, that's what I was talking about. That now, again, I have a soothing lotion mm-hmm. that feels nice. on my skin. But yeah, I don't know why. I mean, my dad for many years had an aftershave on his dresser that the bottle was shaped like a gun. Why? I don't understand. And it was just pure grain alcohol with like a little bit of smelly stuff in there. And like 1972, they're like, that's it. That's
yep.
good enough. Knock yourself
that's
out.
That's what you get, man.
It looks,
I don't know what brand that was, but the tagline was guaranteed to burn your face.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. So show your face who's boss was, I believe. Don't let it get away with that. Okay. So I work alone to get the feeling right. We started making out. She took off my pants, but then I turned on the TV. And that's about the time she walked away from me. Nobody likes you when you're 23. and are still more amused by TV shows. What the hell is ADD? My friends say I should act my age. What's my age again? So, the first thing I want to say with that is, and speaking of gender splits here, Rachel, is that, so we started making out, she took off my pants, and then I turned on the TV. Now, this guy smells like a cologne factory, right?
Right, yep.
He took her out, and they are at home watching TV. So was there any sort of a date or him taking her out? Was just going to her house and watching.
No,
TV.
I like to think they went out to, I'm going to say Applebee's. Applebee's, you know, something like that.
Ice cream
a
shop.
A local diner, maybe. If it's an ice cream shop, Michael, it's not like a fun ice cream shop. It's like a Friendly's. Not that Friendly's isn't fun, but, you know, they're going to a chain restaurant.
I mean,
he's immature. They're not going to a fancy restaurant, but, like Friendly's, but I and hopefully this is I'm trying to stick up for him, and then they go back to his place or her place or whatever.
What does I want to say? Getting close to this guy makes her eyes burn, right?
True.
With the amount of cologne. They went to some crappy chain restaurant and then back to her house to watch TV, right? My point is that ladies, you don't ask for a lot. You know what I mean? Like, even at this point, she's still willing to take his pants off.
Right.
Right? You don't ask for a lot. And men, we still can't clear that bar.
Yeah.
That very, very low bar.
Yeah.
We still somehow managed to not get over it. It's just, ladies, thank you for all that you do. It's incredible how you're willing to put up with us.
Oh, man.
I'm saying that as a representative of the male half of the race. Thank you so much. I don't know why you do it, but I'm so glad that you do. That's all I got to say.
Listen, and it's especially, he's, you know, 23. What a nightmare.
Right.
Men in their early 20s,
God.
What a nightmare they are. They just,
right.
They have, it's just, no, there's no, no clue. No clue. If you ever see a, if you ever see a woman in a relationship and she's in a relationship with a early 20 something, just be like, bless your heart. Bless your heart, because this is, you know, I don't know how many times you sigh during the day, but it's a lot, probably.
It's a lot, right. And yet you're still here.
And
you're
here
still
you
willing to be like, I can fix him. That's the amazing
what are we
part. Is that you guys are like, you know, those people that like won't throw anything away and are like, oh, I don't, this is a perfectly good broken toaster. I'll fix it or whatever. Instead of just being like, I'm going to chuck this away. That's what I do. If I got a broken toaster, that thing goes in the garbage can. I ain't fixing nothing. So you guys are like, yes, he's
got his
problems.
You can always get a new toaster.
But exactly.
It's true.
But I can't just break up with him. I have to help and fix him. No, ladies, thank you so much for all that you do. It's not necessary. I don't understand it. And yet here you are. It's fantastic. Because, Rachel, on that note, he says the line, nobody likes you when you're 23. Stop there. You don't need to go into nobody likes you when you're 23 because you're just a horrible person.
You're just self-involved and annoying. You're just annoying at that point.
Nobody likes you when you're 23.
In his defense.
Yeah.
This is 1999, so it's like season one of The Sopranos. So, he's watching TV. Okay.
Right. There was a lot of good stuff on.
Yeah.
This is the Renaissance. This is the television Renaissance, is what Michael is saying.
He's like,
no,
you
this
know,
is
yeah.
this is sort of the start of it.
What else was I going to say?
No
DVR.
Pre-streaming.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Pre-DVR.
Yeah.
This is The West Wing was brand new.
Right. He's like, look, this is the start of the golden age of television. You don't want to miss this, right? We got to watch these shows, and like we said, we can't tape them. We got to watch them when they're on. So. Really, this is more your fault than mine that you started this close to 9 o'clock on a Sunday.
Right.
Okay, so here's what I do like about this. I mean, I like the whole thing. But so when I was talking about the humor part of it, because the what the hell is ADD? Okay.
Right.
Two things. First of all, I love the fact that she clearly said to him, you have ADD.
Right.
Right. But we don't hear that part. We only hear him not only hearing it, but also dismissing it, right? He's like, what the hell is ADD? Like, I'm not even going to think about this, right? So, that's a funny joke
yeah.
that we don't hear her say it. We only hear him dismissing her very valid thing that she's saying. Like, you probably do have ADD. You should probably go get that checked out.
Or he might be dismissing it. It might just be that he has ADD, so he has not been able to pay attention and figure out what ADD is.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. The other part is that I love, so I think one problem when people make a funny song, right, is that like they put the spotlight on the joke, right? And it's like, you get it? What I love about that is this is a funny joke and it's thrown away.
Yeah.
Right? He says it super fast, where he's like, more of the TV shows, what the hell is ADD? My friend Shai said, act my age. So when you listen back, you can almost miss it the first time.
Right.
So on repeat listens, it still remains funny. It still keeps the humor because it just like flies right past it, which is exactly what he's doing because he has ADD. He can't keep a thought in his head for more than 2 seconds before he's on to the next thing. So I just want, since this is a song I used to hate and a band that I used to hate, I really want to give them credit for the fact that this, you know, it really works. And I do think, again, doing comedy in a song is really hard. And not that this is like gut bustingly funny, but it's actually clever.
Right.
And it's funny. And
irreverent.
The fact that, you know,
hey,
it's irreverent, but again,
but I think you're right.
But, you know,
it doesn't like beat you over the head with it. It's not even the end point of the chorus. It's just a little note in the middle of it.
Right. And it's a fun little thing. And like I said, they just kind of toss it away and they'll do that again later on. So my friends say I should act my age. So again, this is another thing where like all of his friends are telling him like, you're screwing up, man. Like you got to act your age. And he's like, all my friends are saying it, but what's my age again? Which could be him, you know, sort of, again, dismissing it. Like, oh, who cares about how old I am? Or him also being like, genuinely don't know how old I am. Which, I've been there.
Well,
brother,
he was
so
found.
Don't worry about it.
He was found on the streets and in a basket. So, actually, nobody knows what age he is.
He was
floating
down a river. before they started keeping records.
That's right.
Yeah, absolutely.
So he's like super old. He's like 4,000 years old.
Do you think these lyrics, the what's my age again, it could mean those things? I wonder if it could also be sort of a, is this a guy who sort of felt his peak in high school and is trying to keep that somewhere in like, you know, in play? Where it's like, yeah, I'm 23, but come on. I mean, aren't we all still kind of who we were in high school? And everybody else is like, no, we've matured and you have
not. Right. Yeah, I mean, I think that is what it is.
Yeah.
That he's like, so who cares if I'm 23? This is who I am. This is what I like to do. Which on one hand, I'm like, yeah, stay true to yourself. On the other hand, I'm like, you know, maybe don't ignore your girlfriend when she's like, you know, taking your pants off. Like, come on, man. Like, show a little respect for it at least.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, I mean, I think this sort of behavior is only hurting him.
Exactly.
But I don't even think he's even conscious enough to think about what he's
doing.
No,
he lives in the spontaneous moment, and that's all.
Yeah, but what if she's saying, like, all of your clothes smell like your cologne, so...
I mean, that could be it. She's like, look, we got to get these clothes off. I'm not even thinking about sex. It's just that, like, you are drenched in this stuff.
It's going to be all
like,
over my couch. Like, my couch is going to stink of whatever musk this is. This, like, designer imposter that you got at
CVS. You wash your clothes? Did you wash your clothes in cologne? I don't understand how this smell could be this strong. It doesn't even make any
this
sense.
This is clearly a $9.99 gift box from CVS. Christmas time.
Did you use more than one bottle? Like, I'm genuinely confused at this point.
You might have done some damage to your skin.
But later on the drive home, I called her mom from a payphone. I said I was the cops and your husband's in jail. The state looks down on sodomy. And that's about the time that bitch hung up on me. Nobody loves you when you're 23.
There's so much to the fact that not only did he do this prank phone call, but he had to, this isn't this is not, he doesn't have a cell phone. So it's not like he's like, I'm going to do this. And it's a spur of the moment thing. He had to find a payphone and get out, find change, and then call her mother up.
Right. This is, yes. I know what you're saying. Like, it's not a spur of the moment, like, I'm going to send him an angry text and maybe regret it a second later, like, in the heat of the moment. Like, he, so much work had to go into
this. He has to wait for
this.
It to ring. It was, like, even within the rings, right. He could be like, this might not be the right choice.
Maybe
I
should
hang
up. Yeah.
That's right. The thing. He's, the whole thing is about how immature he is, but, like, there's a lot of effort going into this level of immaturity. Like, if he was so immature, he wouldn't care.
Well, that's what we're saying, that it's not a flash of anger. Like,
yeah.
So, like,
he would have the thought of, like, oh, maybe I should do this. And it's like, oh, right. God, I got to find a payphone.
This is what courts would call premeditated and
yeah.
possibly even conspiracy. Because, again, so much work is going into making this prank phone call. For what purpose? Annoy her mom? But to annoy her mom? Like, what?
But
for
why?
What?
Because she,
why?
Is it because she walked away from him? Because he was
watching just
because
he's mad.
Oh my gosh. This is the thing where it's what's my age again? Because these are the actions of a 13-year-old boy.
Yes.
That has no sense of repercussions of their actions and who, like, doesn't understand, right? That's why it's like, oh, I'm going to do this, like, prank phone call. But when you're 23, you should not be doing prank phone calls.
No.
It's not
a
thing. You should have the impulse control.
Absolutely. But also, like, it's like, even if he wanted to get revenge, which he shouldn't, but even if he did, this is a bad revenge. You know what
bad.
I mean? Like, he's annoying her mom, and he also, like, doesn't want to be found out that it's him, right? So he's not even directly doing anything. He's just calling her mom to be a jerk for no reason.
Right,
like, it's so pathetic.
Yeah, if you want revenge, you go all Sunny Came Home.
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Make your list.
You burn that house down.
Make your list for a dozen houses.
No, I don't know that he's doing it as a revenge thing just because she was mad at him. I think it's I think it's a goof. I think he's doing it as a goof. I think.
Well, yes, but why call
as
her
a
mother?
Goof.
Like, I mean, I think I agree, Michael. I think it's a goof. Like, this is not Sunny Came Home. And by the way, I want to say to all immature people out there, thank you for doing stupid immature pranks and not burning down houses.
Yeah.
So for that, he should get credit at the very least. But yeah, no, I think Michael, he's angry, right? And he, like, he's not mature enough to understand what to do. So he does a prank call on her mother.
Yeah.
Again,
yeah.
To what point? For what purpose? Michael's like, we do goofs. What's the problem with doing
hey
a goof?
Guy, as a goof.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then to bring in the dad, I mean, he's just, he's really trying to endear himself to the whole family.
Yes. Right. Well, that is a thing that, I don't know, that I've heard from friends or whatever, where it's like, I got into a fight with my girlfriend's mom. I mean, obviously this was many years ago when this sort of stuff would happen. And I always just be like, dude, why don't ever bring in and the family member? Like, what are you
so
talking
weird.
About? Like, whatever your girlfriend's mom says, just be like, yep, sounds good. Like, there's no, and then do whatever you want afterwards. But don't be getting into fights with your girlfriend's mom.
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about? No, that's way too.
Now then, years later, when they're married, it's something they can look back on and be like, do you guys remember? And I called you.
Remember when I said it was the cops? Oh my gosh.
It's so hilarious.
Isn't that hilarious? We didn't think it was hilarious.
Right.
And the parents would be like, oh, that was funny. You did it as a goof.
Right. Oh, I see. It was a goof. Oh,
it was funny. I mean, it put us into family counseling, but it was funny. I see, looking back with our therapist, we realize how good it was, how funny of a goof it was.
Right. Like during the wedding, when you had your friend stand up and object to the wedding, and we all found out it was a big goof afterwards. Like, it was super fun. Like, we all had a big laugh afterwards about what a goof that was.
We have to thank the makers of the 10 for
as a goof. I have to say, that's my favorite.
You murdered my wife!
Hey, guy, as a goof. Guy, as a goof. You know what? You're bad vibes. I gotta blow.
Man.
The one line of this song that gets me is, what the hell is call ID? Because he's at a payphone. What does it matter? Actually, that's the smartest thing that he did, was to stop at a payphone. Unless he's just lingering at the payphone and they trace the call and send the cops to him.
Well, I think
he picked up the phone and he was like, hi.
Well, again, I think the point is that...
announces his name.
I think the point is that she knows it's not the cops.
Okay,
right?
Okay.
Like, she says you're calling from a payphone or whatever.
She sees the number on her caller ID and she's like, I know this payphone. This isn't the police.
This is the payphone by the bank.
But yes, I mean, yeah, that is a thought that I've had where it makes it seem like he got caught. But again, it's a payphone, which I think, I don't know if, I mean, if he did that on purpose, that is smart. Except the fact that he doesn't seem to know what call ID is, so it perhaps would matter. But he has two options.
He's either going to go home and call from his home phone.
Right.
Or he's going to call from a payphone.
Right.
That is 1999. I don't think he has a cell phone.
But he has such a hilarious goof ready that he can't wait to get home. He's got to do it from a payphone. Okay. Well, what I was going to say was this is the most ever, like, this song was written in 1999 from any song ever. Because we got three things here.
Yeah.
He calls from a payphone.
Yep.
Because he does not have a cell phone. The concept of call ID is so new that he is not aware of it and doesn't know how it works. Now, I know this guy's an idiot, but even the dumbest idiots understand that when your cell phone rings, the number shows up,
right? Right.
So at least, you know, again, the fact that it's a new thing. And then third, as we've already mentioned, the whole sodomy thing, which in 1999 may have been a legitimate thing. Thankfully, we have moved along culturally enough in this country, morally enough, where that's not so much of an issue anymore. We have not moved far enough,
right,
but we
right.
have at least moved somewhat further down the line where, again, I don't know if the cops would call about that. Probably not even in 1999, but it was at least close enough
right.
where that was a thing that, you know, someone could still potentially do that. But anyway... So those three things definitely place this in the, like, I don't know, pre-Obama age, let's say, at the very least. So the what the hell is call ID again? This is the other thrown away thing where
yeah.
she clearly says to him, I can see on call ID that you're not the police. You're calling from a payphone, and hangs up the phone. And he's like, what the hell? What does that mean? What's call ID? Like, I don't know. Like,
how
so
could
again,
she
him
see
just,
that?
Right. So him just like dismissing
is
her,
she a psychic?
You know, right. So,
or he's
again,
never seen like an MCI commercial with, introducing caller ID and, call waiting.
Yeah.
Right. Well, cause back then call ID was like a separate box, right? You would have like,
yeah, you would have a little, or you would do, or you could, star 69 was to call back.
To call back.
But and yes. then there was star something else that I think would give you the number that called.
Okay.
But yeah, call ID back then was, if you had a fancy phone, it would show up because it would have a little thing. Or it was like an attachment that you had next to your phone that MCI would drop off.
Right. Well, I remember the first thing I remember was we had a little box that like basically went between the wire coming out of the wall yep. and your phone. Like, you would plug it into that and then plug it into your
and
phone.
And that box
and then
was
the number
beige.
Was showed up.
100% that box was tan beige.
Yep. It was, that's it was. The background was green.
Yep.
That, like, glowing green, and then the letters were black. Yes, you're 100%.
No, everything.
Yes, that's what it was.
Everything before, like, 2000, if it was high tech, it had to be beige.
It yeah. was beige. Yeah.
What? I mean, good Lord, why? What a bizarre thing.
I will say this. I do like not just the throwaway of what the hell is call ID, but like the parallel construction of the two verses
mm-hmm.
where there is that throwaway of there's yeah. clearly someone saying like, I see your number on call ID. I know all the payphones in this neighborhood. And he like that there is that throwaway in the middle. Like there's a conversation happening in both of these verses.
Right.
Right. That's what I'm saying. That you're not hearing the other side.
Yeah.
Of
there are other characters involved.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And you're only hearing him
his stupid interpretation of what's happening.
But like, that's so also that's also part of the character. He's so self-involved that all you hear is his side. And that's about the time she walked away from me. Nobody likes you when you're 23. And you still act like you're in freshman year. What the hell is wrong with me? My friends say I should have my age. That's about the time that she broke up with me. No one should take themselves so seriously. We're many years ahead to fall in line. Why would you wish down on me? I'm everyone at my age. What's my age again? What's my age again? What the hell is wrong with me? Now, this is the only perhaps self-reflexive internal thought that we get where he does say, what the hell is wrong with me? It could be, but it could also be him sort of defending himself almost.
That's true.
Like, not he's not reflecting on there might be something wrong with the way he's acting. He's reflecting on people's perceptions of him, like what do they think is wrong?
Him saying he's not saying what the hell is wrong with me. He's saying what the hell is wrong with me?
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Or the other interpretation is that you know, like people are saying you should act your age, and people are saying to him, what the hell is wrong with you? Right. So he's just saying, like, this is what people are saying is like, what the hell's wrong with me and why don't I act my age? But I think it may potentially be him being, what's the word I want? Not self-reflexive, but,
self-aware.
Self-aware. Yeah. It, only in that, because here's the last thing I like about this song, which I think this is well constructed, which is it's not clear, the first time, although I did realize it this last time that I heard it. And that's how I was like, this sounds pretty good. Because I think there's two ways to take this. When he says, because then he says, that's about the time she broke up with me. No one should take themselves so seriously. With many years to fall in line, why would you wish that on me? I never want to act my age. What's my age again? What's my age again? So him saying, you don't have to take it so seriously. I never want to act my age. I like the way that I am. Except that the background vocals are saying, please stay with me.
Wow.
Right? So him saying, like, all this stuff of being like, I'm fine, like, whatever, his internal monologue is saying, please don't leave. Please stay with me. But he has no idea how to say that to her, right?
Right.
All he can be is a jerk because he's too immature. But in his head, potentially, if that's the way you want to interpret it, he's actually begging, like, please don't leave. But he has no way of knowing how to keep her.
So he's saying, take me as I am, but please stay.
Right.
He's like, don't try and change me.
Well, but he's being, I don't know if he's saying that. He's just being super defensive.
Right. Oh, that's true.
What he's outwardly saying is like, don't take yourself so seriously. Like, well, who cares? Like, I don't want ever, you don't want me to act my age? Well, I never want to act my age. But again, in the background, you're hearing that they're saying, please stay with me.
Right.
Please don't go. Please stay with me. And almost pleading in the background while the main singer is singing these lyrics that are like super defensive about like, I never want to act my age.
Yeah.
That's good.
It's actually good.
I
mean, and you don't, I mean, I never heard it like that, but that's because it's also a fast pop punk song.
Yeah.
So you don't really hear it that much. So it's got a lot more depth to it this way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot more going on than just complete immaturity and lack of self-awareness. There is some sort of struggle, at least.
Right.
Which is, I guess, what we hope all 20-somethings feel.
Right. That maybe they'll eventually.
And we'll take time at some point.
Yeah, and eventually they'll figure it out.
I mean, listen, when you're, you know, when you're in your early 20s, you're like, I'm never going to, you know. That's never, whatever that is, that's never going to be me.
Right.
I'm never going to act my age.
Right.
When I was, listen, you get to a point where you're like, I'm never going to be the person who listens to NPR. And I'm always going to know what the new music is.
Right.
And now I'm like, I don't know what that music is, but I can tell you what the last joke on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is.
I mean, Paula Poundstone is very funny.
This verse is his way of saying, I am what I am. I am my own special creation.
Right.
That's right.
Well, I think the message of don't listen to other people, like do your own thing, is an admirable message, if that's what they're saying. Except that ignoring your girlfriend and prank calling her mom, these are not things you should be doing.
Right.
These are bad examples.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
being your own person is one thing,
right.
But being a horrible, annoying person
right.
is another thing.
Exactly.
And if you're just like, this is just, you just got to accept me as I am.
Right.
Then you think to yourself, well, then I'm not going to accept you because I don't want to have to deal with this.
Right. I don't want
to
have to have.
You can be yourself, but you're going to be alone.
Right. I don't want to have an extra beige box in my house to know whether or not my husband was arrested. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, yeah. So, you know, no one should take this so seriously. With many years ahead to fall in line, why would you wish that on me? I never want to have my age. What's my age again? What's my age? And that's where we leave him. Again, hopefully he's going to figure it out.
Hopefully they patched it up.
Oh God, I hope no. She should definitely dump him and go find someone else. Here's what I'm gonna say, girlfriend in this song. Let someone else fix him for once in your life. Go do something for yourself.
Here's what I hope. I hope he comes to a realization of himself that he has to grow up at some point. But I hope he doesn't become another cog in the machine. You know,
right.
I don't want him to just work at a cubicle and in despair. I want him to be himself.
Absolutely.
But also maybe don't prank call people with payphones.
Right.
Maybe he'll get over that when he gets his first cell phone. I don't know.
Well, I don't know.
Or even his first beeper.
I don't know. Or his first or second beeper.
Yeah. Can you prank people with a beeper? I'm not sure how you would do that.
It's more involved because I think they have to call you back at a... They have to get to a payphone, then call you back at a payphone, then you'll be like, here's a funny joke, and then hang up.
Yeah.
I think you can only put, like, you know, different codes. You put, like, prank codes.
Right.
Like, put 911 when it's not an emergency.
Right.
Gotcha.
Or if it is an emergency, put 912. And then they don't... So totally trick them. All right. Anything else on the song?
No.
Nope.
All right. Good.
It's a fun song.
It is fun.
It's fun.
All right, let's do Expanded Universe.
Expanded Universe.
I wonder, this could be the second phone call that the guy gives to Sylvia's mother. After she doesn't say
Right.
But Sylvia comes on the phone. He's like, oh man, that stinks. But you know what? I'm gonna get her. To which Sylvia's mother says, you just called from this same number.
Right. He's like, nah, it's the 70s. You don't have call ID. Psych lady.
Hey.
Like, your husband's in jail. My husband is standing next to me. We're saying goodbye
right
to our daughter. Why would he not be here?
I mean, maybe this phone call is why they get a divorce and take a letter Maria. If she really believes it.
Oh, you think that you think?
Oh, you
think the letter is a prank letter?
Yeah, maybe.
Never happened.
Maria comes back. He's like, I just talked to your wife. She said you guys went home. You had dinner last night. Nothing happened. He's like, oh, I got you, Maria. Psych.
Maria, take a letter. Ask my wife if her refrigerator is running. You want me to mail a letter that says, is your refrigerator right? Yes. Yeah,
right.
She'll think it's hilarious.
I was trying to think of if anyone like watches TV in any of our songs.
Oh, I mean, in Ariel.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Maybe this is Ariel and the guy. But then they get along. She doesn't leave.
No.
She doesn't leave. This could be the alternate take of Ariel.
Or maybe they're just watching the same show.
Like, there you go.
You know,
which is they're just watching. That would be even worse if it's just because in Ariel, it's that like the national anthem is playing in the flag, like at the end of the broadcasting day. If that's the TV that he's watching is just the end broadcast with literally nothing else on.
Hold on. I want to see how this ends.
It ends the same way every night with an eagle flying over an American flag.
Yo, well, sorry, I love this country. Okay.
He's like, there's a really good test pattern on right now. I got to check it out.
All right. Well, we don't have to belabor this.
Will say this. The only thing I will say is she gets upset. She storms out on him.
Mm-hmm.
The first place she goes is to a little bar.
Oh, yeah.
To listen to Pearl.
Yeah.
Sure.
Because she's lost and lonely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At this point.
I think so. And then,
yeah, go ahead.
No, then I would imagine like she decides to move on with her life and marries a riverboat gambler. And that doesn't end well. And
that doesn't end well either.
No.
She's unlucky in love.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And she cries in her lonely heart.
Well, then she marries a man who steals all her money, and then her son has to go get revenge on him, and then they fall into the belly of a whale. What we're just trying to say is that she's unlucky in love. That's what
it's tough.
It's tough for her.
Also, she's aging backwards, like
Benjamin Buttoning,
like Benjamin Button, because each one of our examples got later and later, or whatever, further back in time. So
yes.
All right, let's take a quick break.
When she gets into a fight with the Red Baron, it's
yeah.
This song works in the universe as a whole. It's perfect.
It all works. It's fine. All right, we're gonna take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk about the history of this song with Story Behind the Story.
Friends help friends find the Story Song podcast, and you can help your friends find the show by leaving us a review wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll read the best reviews on the show. And then you'll be famous, and you won't have to be nice to your friends anymore.
All right, we're back. It's time for Story Behind the Story. How did this story come to be? Before we jump into that, we just wanted to read. We have another review on Apple Podcasts, a 5-star review. Thank you so much, Mr. Thunder Road. This comes from so Bruce, we appreciate it. We know.
I'm assuming it's Bruce Springsteen.
We saw through your little subterfuge there.
You thought by not calling yourself the boss, calling yourself Mr. Thunder Road, that we wouldn't know, but we know, Bruce.
We know.
So.
He's a big fan. He's a big fan.
But this was left April 5th, and it's from Mr. Thunder Road, and the headline is "Great Stuff" with 3 exclamation points. And that is the minimum, folks, that we ask for is 3 exclamation points.
That's right.
So make a note, five stars, three exclamation points.
Right. I mean, you can do more exclamation points. We're just saying at a minimum, we want it. We want 3.
It's like you're 15.
It's what you're looking for is to do the bare minimum.
Yeah.
Right.
If you don't want to put any more effort, then do 3 exclamation points.
Right. Right. If you want to do the absolute bare minimum of leaving us a review. So, great stuff. 5 stars. Just found this today and listened to a few episodes. May I suggest you guys do You're Having My Baby by Paul Anka and Odetta Coates, a #1 smash in 1974. Let me say this, Mr. Thunder Road. We are considering that song.
Well, let's say thank you for the review.
Thank you for the review. Much.
Well, yeah, it's great. That's
thank
awesome.
You so much. Thank you. But I just wanted to say that song's on our list.
Yeah, we have talked about that song.
We are considering it. We will almost certainly do it at some point. But I personally have been putting it off because I am genuinely slightly scared of that song because it is so weird
that
I am actually genuinely scared to look into it and find out what it's actually about, because there's something about that. Speaking of the Uncanny Valley, there's something about that song that just creeps me right out. and the fact that I don't think it's supposed to be creepy makes it even creepier. So we will look into that. But like Michael said, thank you so much for the 5-star review. It's super helpful. If you would like to leave a 5-star review, go ahead. Go on Apple Podcasts or wherever.
We're not going to stop you.
The police? Yeah. Go for it.
Or wherever you listen to the podcast, wherever you can leave reviews, leave us a 5-star review. It's super helpful. We super appreciate it. And if you do, we will read it on the show. So thank you again, Mr. Thunder Road, and to anyone else who's thinking about leaving a review, go ahead and do it. All right, let's get into What's My Age Again by Blink-182. So I wanted to say my main thought here is I want to discuss a little bit about, by this point, right? Because this song had a very famous video, and a very memorable video. And at this point, things like visuals are really a part of music now, right? And Blink-182 had a very juvenile, puerile was a word that that came up more than once, kind of sense and their aesthetic. Attitude.
Yeah.
Aesthetic, right. And their branding and a lot of the visuals, right? And so I think that that helped them, but also hurt them, right? And so, but this idea of the visual, right, being such a big part of music at this point, and that it could help you, but it also turned people off from you. And I definitely was one of the people who was most likely turned off by it. Like I said, the fact that, you know, it was the sound of the music turned me off to something that I actually, you know, objectively, I think the song's really good. But also again, the visual aspect of it, I was like, this just seems like kid stuff to me.
Right.
So,
well, I think it also just, sorry, real quick, just to, I think it also fell in the trap of, you could call them a punk band, right? But they're that idea of pop punk that had a big backlash, you know, that was, people didn't, it had a tendency to be sort of accepted in a certain circle, and it was looked on as something more juvenile than a true punk band. And I think sort of pigeonholing them that way and calling it pop punk did a disservice to it.
Right. Well, it was, and it was something that was sort of stuck in the middle. It was really, really popular for a brief time, but then, like you said, there was a big backlash to it that kind of, they got stuck in. But Blink-182 was founded in 1992 in Poway, California. Poway. That's how you say it. Poway, California.
Poway.
I looked it up how to say it, and then I forgot. I'm an idiot. Poway, California.
What's ADD?
What
the hell's ADD?
What? anyway, guys, let's go ride bikes. In Poway, California, the original members were guitarist Tom DeLonge, bassist Mark Hoppus, and drummer Scott Raynor. And in 1995, the band released their first album, Cheshire Cat, on the indie punk label Cargo. Their second album, Dude Ranch, they signed a deal with Columbia to co-distribute the album, which was released in 1997. And Dude Ranch, you might know, it has that song Damn It, which is the one where they go, I guess this is growing up. So you might know that.
I like that song a lot.
So, drummer Scott Raynor, who's in the video for Damn It, but drummer Scott Raynor was fired during the band's 1998 tour and replaced with Travis Barker. So now here's what I was talking about. What's My Age Again was off the band's 1999 album Enema of the State. You get it? also,
That's the one with the nurse on the front.
The nurse,
right?
Yes.
Yeah.
The woman who's a porn star and who's also in the video for this song. And their next album would be called Take Off Your Pants and Jacket. And if you don't get that, ask a friend for how that joke goes. It was produced by Jerry Finn, who famously had produced Green Day's Dookie album and was well known for adding polish to punk rock songs and making them more accessible to mainstream audiences.
Mm-hmm.
So that was what you were saying. Yeah, that was definitely...
I'd say so.
Right. Well, that was definitely because, like, now, right, we're now, what, 8 years removed from Nevermind, right? So now we're taking that punk sound that was popular, and now we're like, okay, but how can we make it more like the Backstreet Boys? And that was the other thing: how can we take that sound but make it like, you know, the 13-year-old girls,
right,
want to listen to it? And that was the other thing. I mean, these were all good-looking guys, right? And it was that was the other thing, because a lot of their videos and a lot of their visuals were parodies or spoofs or goofs, if you will, on things like the Backstreet Boys. right? They would dress up in like silk shirts and like have them open and like, haha.
Have the wins. Yeah.
Right. And be like, isn't this funny? We're acting like NSYNC or something. Except that, again, these were good looking guys who probably could have been in NSYNC, you know, or a band like that. And so they were kind of having their cake and eating it too, right? That they could play to that, you know, mainstream audience and be like, we do have these good looking visuals. And then for the punk crowds, like, we're really making a joke though. Wink. Right. And so they were sort of in that middle space. But
it gives permission for like the, you know, like the alt kids who like the alternative kids who are like, don't want to like boy bands, don't want to have crushes on boy band, you know, members. Gives them permission to have, you know,
sure,
a crush on Mark Hoppus,
sure,
but he's a punk, and you're
right?
Like, oh, okay,
right. Yeah, his hair is stuck up in a slightly different way, so that means
right
that he's punk and not pop.
But it's also the irreverence that we were talking about before, like where there's in the poppiness, there is that the irreverence makes it more punk. Like adds to the punkness, in addition to its sound.
Right. There is this sort of they're walking a line, which is why it was the pop punk, movement.
Right, and it was that punk sound, but again with the edges kind of shaved off, and you know, so again it was more accessible. They would play it on like regular radio, not just like alternative radio, you know. Although having said that, the album sold 15 million copies worldwide. Song hit number 2 on the US alternative airplay chart, although it only hit number 58 on the Hot 100.
Interesting.
So it was mainstream, but not so mainstream that it was going to be
like a Billboard
number 1.
Yeah. Like a Hot 100 hit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, certainly not, you know, being on the Hot 100 at all is admirable, right?
But it wasn't like the two charts were reversed.
Right. Well, what I was going to say was this is the point in history where the start of that stratification of pop culture is beginning, right? Where they were super popular and they made a ton of money. But it was only by marketing to a certain crowd, right? They weren't trying to get, you know, your average pop music fan, right? They were trying to find that middle ground of the people who liked alternative music, but this went down a little easier,
right?
So you could kind of, you know, get some of the people who maybe would be a little bit more receptive to that sort of thing. But I mean, because this video. So this has a famous video very memorable, perhaps infamous video of them streaking through Los Angeles. And they're naked and then their naughty bits are blurred out. But otherwise, they're just running through naked through a Los Angeles neighborhood. And there's a lot of funny jokes where a woman is watering a garden and then like sees them run by and is so shocked that she turns and she sprays water all over a bunch of people. And it's like that sort of very slapsticky kind of stuff, but that was a huge video on MTV,
right?
And that sort of stuff, and then they were on the Vans Warped Tour, speaking of 1999. And that was a thing. Even those like tours were a thing where it was like, you know, instead of having one band having to get a whole bunch of people to a big stadium, what if you had like six bands that were all similar?
Mm-hmm.
And then people could go because they liked one of those bands, you know. And that was a thing where it was like, okay, we're gonna. Again, it's that sort of like siloing off of pop culture where you weren't trying to appeal to everyone,
right?
Necessarily. So I said it hit number 58 on the Hot 100, which was the week of October 23rd, 1999. And here are the top 5 songs of that week. The first one, number 1, was Smooth by Santana. Which I believe was number 1 for 10 years. I don't remember,
right,
but I remember it was.
Something like that, yeah.
It hung
around
for a while.
You could not get away from that song.
Oh, my God. I remember, like, I do distinctly remember driving my car and, like, that song was on the radio, and I turned to the next station, and it was also on
of
that
course.
Station. And I was like, oh, my God. I literally can't escape this song.
I'm surprised they don't now
And that,
have
that a... was 2 days ago.
Well, I was going to say. Absolutely. I'm kind of surprised that even now they don't just have a serious station that's just plays that song on a
It's called Smooth Radio.
Yep. Yeah. People are like, oh, yeah, like yeah. Smooth jazz? Nope. Just one song over and over and over again.
Just right. Santana and Rob Thomas for 24 hours a day. for 1 day? No.
Nope.
Every day.
Every day.
Different songs by Rob Thomas and Santana? Nope. Mm. Nope. Just that one song.
So now here's another thing. I don't know if this means anything. But so song number one is Santana featuring Rob Thomas. Second song is Heartbreaker, Mariah Carey featuring Jay-Z. The third song, number three, was Music of My Heart, NSYNC featuring Gloria Estefan. So I don't know if people were just combining their powers or it was just a weird coincidence, but Heartbreaker by Mariah Carey and Jay-Z and Music of My Heart by NSYNC and Gloria Estefan. This might be more about where I was at this time, but I looked up both those songs on YouTube. I've never heard either of those songs before. I was like, I've never heard the song before. So
I knew Music of My Heart existed. I don't think I would know it if I heard it. Heartbreaker, I know, but Music of My Heart, I don't know.
I would know it in 2 seconds. I think there were. This was the era that began a lot of duets, I guess, but not really
the
duets.
Featurings.
It would be like art. Yeah, the feat. Yeah,
the featuring.
Yeah.
And I think honestly, I think a lot of that is because they wanted to find ways to do sort of crossovers and find ways to break into different markets and things like that.
Yeah.
Right.
The thing with Smooth is it was a Santana album that was Santana featuring like 1,000 different artists. So it was basically a duets album. So that's where that came from. Music of My Heart was a song from a movie soundtrack. The movie is Music of the Heart. Heartbreaker was, and I think Mariah Carey did a bunch of those, like featured, like her song featuring another artist.
Right.
The other two, I think, are more of a coincidence.
Right. And as much as we were making fun of Smooth, that song is
I'm not making fun of it at all. I love that song.
Well, I mean, making fun of it because it just
was
it played
forever.
Incessantly. But like the first time I heard that song, I was just like, "Damn, you guys unlocked!" Like it's just like a perfect like earworm. Like I can't explain it, but it's just like, ah, man. Every once in a while, somebody just like solves the like equation of music, and you're like, ah, man, you nailed it! Like.
I will say this about Santana. Everything Santana does, for the most part, is going to be some sort of duet with someone because Santana is a guitar player. So there's no
that's
music.
This
might be cut out, but I have one quick Santana thing, which is my parents who were basically like step out of a movie of their experiences of the 60s saw Santana open up for Canned Heat. I mean, that is insane. They were like, who's this Santana guy? And then he came on. They're like, what? Which I think is phenomenal. But anyway.
Right.
He was good, but he didn't sing.
Is he just plays the guitar like that?
Yeah. He just played the guitar for 20 minutes. And then he said, hi, I'm just waiting for Rob Thomas to be born. and then I'll do some more songs. Thank you.
Trust me. This is going to be killer in 99.
Yeah. So the band, throughout this period, the band was criticized as being synthetic, manufactured pop that only remotely resembled punk. I did not write this, but I could have in 1999 because I agreed. And they were pigeonholed as a joke act due to the puerile slant of their lyrics and associating music videos.
But that's what happens when anybody gets even the slightest bit of success.
Oh, absolutely. But obviously anyone who has success, you know, will get some criticism. But I think that was the thing where, you know, again, like this was a band I fully admit I dismissed because I was like, this is this is dumb kid stuff. Like, I don't care about this. And I think that they're, that actually obscured some pretty talented songwriting and,
yeah,
and playing, honestly. And like, and the lyrics, even though some of them are raunchy and stupid, like, they do have a surprising level of cleverness to them,
mm-hmm,
and wit and an actual skill and craft. Even though, again, you know, it's like in service of a dumb sex joke. It is at least well crafted dumb sex joke. I will say that. which most things of that stripe are not, you know.
Sure.
So yeah, and so and I think it's sort of a weird thing where a band like that has endured, and has actually had an influence on the generation that came after, which I'll get to in a second. But the thing I was going to say before that is that, so also, I joked about it at the top, but raunchy humor was having a moment at the time, because the song came out in 1999. There's Something About Mary was released in July of 1998, and the show Jackass premiered exactly 1 year later in October of 2000. So it was a thing at the time.
They were smack dab in the middle.
Yeah.
They were of the time.
We couldn't.
Well, this song was of the time.
We couldn't get enough of it. Also, prank calls were having a moment, weirdly, at the time. Something that, because I looked it up, the first Jerky Boys album was April of 1993. But they were going strong into the mid and late 90s. Remember that show, Crank Yankers?
Yeah.
That started in 2002. So I don't know. I remember a lot of people being like, man, prank phone calls are funny, huh? And me being like, are they? Because I disagree.
So uncomfortable.
Very
so
strongly
uncomfortable.
Disagree on that. Occasionally, you'll hear a funny one. But for the most part, it was always, not only did I always feel like so uncomfortable for the people who were on the other end of the phone, but also I was just like, this isn't even funny. It's just some
right.
guy yelling about whatever. Like, this is funny, but man, people loved it back then.
Loved it. Makes me so uncomfortable. Now, the equivalent now would be those, the prank videos on YouTube and stuff that are all over the place, which I also cannot watch, where people do just pranks on random people.
Right. I hate prank shows. I don't even get
it. I can't.
That's the other thing. I cannot believe people enjoy that. It's the worst.
So uncomfortable.
Candid camera.
Hate it.
Yeah,
hate
that's
it.
Right.
Hate it. So what I was talking about with their influence was, and again, all this stuff possibly obscuring some pretty good songwriting and playing. In 2011, the New York Times wrote, "No punk band of the 90s has been more influential than Blink 182. No, not even Green Day." And concluded that Blink 182,
whoa,
well, they included that Blink 182 was not the first punk band to put the more glossier pop elements on it, right? But they were the first punk band to go to that mainstream sound and not have any shame in doing it, right? Like, bands like Green Day did that, but they always seemed like they were, like, you know, either would be like, no, we didn't.
Right.
Or, you know, or seemed kind of uncomfortable with it. Whereas Blink-182 was like, yeah, this is what we do.
They just embraced like, it. Yeah.
Totally embraced it, right? And again, tried to have that cake and eat it too thing with dressing up like boy bands and being like, ah, this is a funny joke, right? But also, we're pretty sexy, right? Like, I mean, look at these abs, right? Come on.
But I think the lesson here is also, you know, yeah, you could dismiss them as a joke and a novelty, but they sold 15 million copies of this
right.
album. So,
oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, and again, I mean, I'm talking more about, like, my perception, honestly. And like I said, hearing this song with fresh ears, that's why I wanted to talk about this. Cause I was like, oh, man, this is a good song. A song that I just initially, you know, dismissed because of all the stuff around it. You know what I mean? If I just somehow was like locked in a cave and only like, you know, just had songs delivered to me and didn't know anything about them, I probably would have loved this song. But it was all the stuff around it that I was like, oh man, this is from the album's called Enema of the State. No, thank you. I'm not interested.
Well, that's sort of interesting. I mean, do you think now in like, I mean, I guess like the post MTV era, there's less stuff around music?
Well, yes and no. I mean, because the other thing, again, like I said, was I was very militant about like, this is punk and this is not. And anything that's trying to be punk, but it's not, sucks and I hate it. Whereas now I'm way more lenient about like, whatever, if it's good, it's good. I'm not going to like worry about it. That's another change more in myself where I don't like define myself by, you know, so much by what music I like, you know. Oh. I like whatever I like.
But I think also now there's less of a urge to put any sort of label on a song or on an right. album. Now yeah. it's just, this is just music, because there's been so much crossover. There's so much fluidity to what music is that I don't know that if you tried to decide what this was now, what they would call it, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And, well, I also think part of that is the record label has less to do with it. So there's less marketing around it because there's so much more indie music. Right. So they're not being necessarily marketed with an image and with a video, and the visual isn't as important, and the label.
Right. And I mean, I don't want to speak for the young kids, but it's my sense that they just care less about genres and that sort of, you know, there's much more genre fluidity nowadays.
Right.
And I would guess that's probably because of the streaming era, where you can just listen to anything you want at any time. You don't have to go and buy the album. And also, like, people, you know, you don't have to hand your record to the store clerk and watch them, you know, turn their nose up at it. You can just listen to whatever you want, whenever you want. Nobody knows. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there definitely is a lot more of, like, that people just, again, I think, you know, the young tastemakers just care less about that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know for sure, but okay, so just to wrap up here, so after this album they had the album Take Off Your Pants and Jacket, which was released in June of 2001, and it did hit number one on the US Hot 200, which is the album chart. In 2003 they released their fifth album, which was just called Blink-182. In February of 2005, due to tensions in the band about touring and the band's sound, they announced an indefinite hiatus. On September 19th, 2008, drummer Travis Barker was in a private plane that crashed on takeoff. He was critically injured and burned. There were six people on the flight. Only two survived,
Oof.
Travis Barker being one. So DeLong and Hoppus, not surprisingly, went to see him in the hospital. And that actually began the three of them speaking again. And they decided to reunite, which they announced in February of 2009.
Aww.
So they put out an album called Neighborhoods, which had some success, but the record didn't really have a big hit single, and the record label considered it a financial disappointment. DeLong left the group in 2015, and was replaced by guitarist Matt Skiba. DeLong, one of the reasons why he left was to begin a company called To the Stars, which is devoted to investigating UFO sightings.
Yes.
Sure.
Who doesn't? You know, who doesn't want to do that, though?
So on August 7th, the band released a surprise new single called Quarantine, which is literally about quarantine and COVID-19. I mean, like, literally, that's what the song's about. That's what they're talking about on the song.
Just August 7th, 2020.
What did I say?
Just August 7th.
Oh, I'm sorry. August 7th, 2020, the band released a single titled Quarantine.
Oh, that makes sense.
and they have promised a new album in 2021. So that's
still
that.
Still going.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Still happening. All right. We're going to take another quick break. And when we come back, we'll talk about the lesson we learned from this song with Lessons Learned.
Like us on Facebook.
You'll get lots of great Story Song content, and we'll break up those crazy political posts from your uncle. Liking the Story Song podcast on Facebook makes the world a better place for everyone. Except uncles.
Hey guys, welcome back. It's time for lessons learned. What lesson can we take away from this song, apply to our lives to make our lives better? And perhaps you out there listening, maybe you can take something away.
Helpful hints, one of these you lessons. Guys. These are helpful hints.
Helpful
you.
Hints. That's what I like to call them.
Helpful. We're here to help.
So let's start with Rachel. Rachel, what did you learn from this song?
What I learned is that, you know, if you are going to prank call your girlfriend's mom, do exactly what Blink-182 did and call from a payphone, and don't worry about the caller ID. It doesn't matter. The point is not that they think for a long time that you're the cops. It's that first reaction that you want. After that, the rest is gravy. So don't worry so much about caller ID, but make sure you have a public payphone, which is better advice back then than it is now, where you can't really find a public payphone. Mm-hmm. Now you just have to go up to a stranger and be like, hey, can I use your cell phone to call my girlfriend's mom and prank call her?
Right. I mean, my lesson was going to be, if you're going to do a prank phone, go all the way. Which is to say, yes, break into a police station. Get a phone. And actually, you know what? I'm going to take that back. Let's do, if you're really going to do a prank phone call, don't half-ass it. So here's what you do. Go to the police academy.
Yep.
Graduate. Become a police officer, right? Find your girlfriend's father, arrest him.
Yeah.
Bring him to jail, and then call your girlfriend's mom and say that her husband has been arrested. And she's totally going to buy it because you are, in fact, a cop in a police station who has arrested her husband. So
that's right.
A hilarious 7-year goof.
And it'll be so funny. And then what you do is you hang up immediately and you turn to your captain and you say, guy, this was all a goof. And then you walk out. And he's like, that guy, you arrested that guy. What am I supposed to do with him? That's your problem. This is the end of my goof. Thank you.
Right.
Then when you're typing up your police report at the bottom, you type just kidding.
JK.
And then she'll read it and be like, that was actually really funny. You got me. Because you know what that's called? That's called commitment.
That's called commitment to the bit.
Yeah.
Commitment to a bit.
You're going to do it. Just do it.
As you walk out the door, you say, this was all just a hilarious goof, and you walk out the door. Then the captain takes off his hat and goes, there goes the best damn cop I ever had. sorry to
look,
lose you.
If you're not willing to devote 7 years to training to a prank phone call,
then why bother?
Why do it?
Why?
Yeah. That's the same. Totally agree.
Good point.
And by the way, this is a lesson you can take away and use in your life.
Yes.
Listener at home. Michael, what lesson did you learn?
I learned that if you use enough cologne, you probably don't actually have to shower.
Yeah. Agreed.
Because there's alcohol in that, and that's better than soap.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
You don't even need to use detergent, just wash your clothes in it.
If there's one thing that they've said, it's that what you want to do is you want to make sure that you use a lot of alcohol on your skin and dry it out as much as possible.
Absolutely.
Because that'll help it keep up.
Yeah.
You know, it'll stay. I mean, it'll look bad, but it'll, you know, it weathers it. Weathers your skin.
I mean, that is definitely a lesson I learned in the last year. Is you put a lot of hand sanitizer on your hand, and it does fantastic stuff your hands. Really great. Definitely not constantly cracking and bleeding. It's awesome.
That's right.
So, yeah.
Well, what's the advice that that experts give you? You do not want to moisturize ever. You want to actually just dry out your skin.
Yeah.
Yep. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah. Your skin should be as dry as possible.
That makes sense.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. This has been the Story Song Podcast. Please come back next episode where we'll talk about another great story song. In the meantime, follow us on the socials like Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And if you could leave us a 5-star review like Bruce, like Mr. Thunder Road, here, we would certainly appreciate it. And if you like the show, tell a friend. Mm-hmm. Thank you guys so much for listening. I'm Dan McInerney.
I'm Rachel Oakes.
And I'm Michael Gazelle.
We'll be back at you next time. Thanks again for listening, and goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Our theme music was written and performed by Jason Flowers. Find him on Twitter at Jason Flowers with a Z. Some of our bumper music was provided by Purple Planet Music.
Our logo was designed by Dan Geva. Be sure to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at @story_song, and on Instagram at @StorySongPodcast.
And don't forget to leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you find your podcasts. The Story Song Podcast is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcast Network. Go to pantheonpodcasts.com. Thanks for listening.
It's the Story Song.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Story Song Podcast. I'm Dan McInerney.
I'm Rachel Oakes. Jesus. We are off to a
like halfway
solid
through
start.
A cough. Sorry.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.